insane.
Insane.
Casualty.
Although I did do something the other day. I went to my prostate exam, which is brutal. You're supposed to do it at 40. I went until I was 42. Because they say when a man is 40, in the next 30 years, you have a 20% chance of prostate cancer. I said to the doctor, wait a second, in 30 years, I get a 20% chance of cancer versus a 100% chance of your finger going on my butt in the next 30 seconds. Now, doc, I'm not a gambling man, but I think I got to go with the cancer. See, that's why I don't make fun of homosexuals. I couldn't take a finger on my ass without freaking. You ever see what those guys take a big dick up their ass? That's a man. What do you mean they're gay, they're a faggot, they're a pussy? I'm a girly man. Takes a man to take a big dick up his ass. That's why I don't make fun of gays. I really don't. I used to. I don't really feel bad or guilty about it because it's like, you know, little kids making fun of people that are retarded or fat. It's nothing that I do anymore. When I started doing stand-up comedy 20 years ago, I was a macho young guy, unsure about my sexuality. Not that I thought it was gay, but a lot of guys, you know, you're insecure. You know, you really haven't made it. It's all these macho dickheads. You know, I start teasing gay people. You know what? I stopped doing the gay jokes a long time ago. Once I got married. I think once you do get married, you start understanding the gay lifestyle just a little bit better. That's why they're called gay. They're happy. They're hanging out with the guys. How great is that? You're always with the guys if you still get blowjobs. That to me. We'll have a gay old time. Yabba dabba doo. You don't have to shop for a woman.
You are listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. I am your host, Crazy Jay. Matt Mike is here. If you want to email him, it is ihurtmyspleen@yahoo.com. You can find him over there at MySpace.
If you look for me.
That's right.
Don't tase me, bro.
If you go to myspace.com/crazyj13, he is the first friend of mine. And check him out. We've had a lot of fun. I put a slideshow up on the MySpace page of our pool outings.
Ah, nice. Yeah, there's some very interesting pictures.
Yeah.
Check them out.
I think I did a pretty good job. You guys should head over there and check it out for a show. Because,
I heard we got an email, too.
We did get some email. I'm working up to that.
Good deal.
Let me see here.
Show it to me?
Yeah, I'm getting that.
Show it to me, Big Daddy.
But once you check out our website, this is pretty badass. I think I did a pretty good job with this. Let's see here. Remember, you can email me anytime you want, crazyj@comic.com. That's the best way to do it. You can also find me through MySpace. You can get me on Facebook. I Twitter now.
It's everything.
Everything. You can find me anywhere.
You tweaker?
Yeah, I'm not a tweaker. I'm a Twitter.
You're Twitter. That's the difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
Fool me.
Let's see.
That won't shut.
I don't know what's going on. What's going on with this thing? Here it comes.
Oh.
But this is this will be the slideshow.
I look pretty white in this picture.
Yeah, no, it's actually a picture of your knee.
Oh. The sun's up. That's music. After 12. Make breakfast for myself. Rock God's in there.
Yeah.
For someone else. I think I've got a pizza in my hand. People say, there's Nicolopolis. They tell me with I don't know, it looks like a transvestite hooker.
No, she's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I can't tell.
Perfect song for the for the slideshow.
I see boobs, I do. I can't remember her name.
Mandy.
Rebecca?
Mandy.
Mandy. Rebecca. There's Jay and Rebecca.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. This thing goes really slow.
Well, they, you know, they have to show a lot of pictures.
Yeah, that's true.
But,
you said this is me and you. I'm seeing is you and Rebecca. What the hell is going on here?
I said there's pictures of us out of the pool.
Either Rebecca?
You added Mark to the...
Are you holding her boob?
Yes.
Are you actually holding her boob or just licking
her? No, I'm actually... She told me to go for it.
Oh, sweet.
So I did. I went for it.
Oh, and then she went for yours.
Yeah. And so did Mark.
And Mark. Did of course.
Yeah, of course.
The guys...
Anyway, uh-oh. You can...
Not one picture of me.
Yes, there was. I'm not going to sit here and play the whole thing. Let people go to the MySpace page and check it out.
Check out the Jane Rebecca slideshow.
Shut up.
Check that out. It's great.
Here's a cool...
For everybody but me.
Here's a cool email that we got from somebody.
Oh, that's long.
His name is Dan, and
hey, Dan.
He wanted this shared with the Rock and Comedy Show listeners.
All right.
And it's about an experience he had buying something.
Ah, I wonder what he was buying.
Oh, let's find out. It says, my daughter, wife, and I went to Walmart recently shopping for the essentials, soap, shampoo, toilet paper, aspirin, and lube. After a half hour of shopping, we found everything on our list except for the personal lubricant. My wife and I scoured the pharmacy aisles in search of it, but came up empty. As you can imagine, neither of us had the courage to go up to the customer service counter and ask them, where do you keep the joy jelly? So we abandoned our effort. Later that day, we had to go out again, this time to the local Kmart. They're big shoppers.
Yeah.
As I was
go to all the hot spots.
As I was passing by the pharmacy aisle, I broke off from our little troop and started reconning for the lubricant. I soon found the spermicide and the condoms, yes. So I knew I was in the right place. And then I saw it there on the shelf. It sat, my grail. Actually, it was a box, a small box enough for me to hold in the palm of my hand. I looked at it. I looked past it. I walked up the aisle like I was browsing for Q-tips. Then I walked back down the aisle and grabbed it. The reach for the... for the grasp of the product was such an artistic display of sleight of hand that even David Copperfield would have went, wow, how'd he do that? With the goal in hand, so to speak, I caught up with my wife and daughter, all the while carefully palming the little box so I was able to keep it out of sight from my daughter and other shopper, Kmart personnel, and God.
And God.
Of course, this is where the story gets email worthy. We live only a mile or two from the Big K and shop there often, as do our friends, coworkers, neighbors, my daughter's teachers, waiters, waitresses, various restaurants we frequent, our bank teller, and the town mayor.
Sounds sounds like a big town.
Yeah, everyone shops there. You probably shop there. Needless to say, I'm in stealth mode when I give a quick wink and tell my wife, mission accomplished. It's a Saturday early afternoon, and Kmart is crowded. People are lined up five deep in each checkout line, the three of us standing in line.
He likes that five deep.
And when my kids ask if she can buy a bag of Skittles, I agree. She could have had a case of Skittles, as long as it would not draw attention to my purchase. Finally, and KY jelly's not that embarrassing. I would be more embarrassed to buy, you know, condoms. And,
yeah.
You know, at least I'm getting some. You know, finally... finally, we're at the cashier. She starts bringing up our various items.
I just be like, I have very dry skin.
She slides the notebook paper over the scanner. Ping! Then the Doritos. Ping! Then the 12-pack of Coke. Ping! The Instant Grits. Ping! The Skittles. Ping! Then the small bags. No ping. Nothing. She slides the box over the scanner again. Still no ping. The cashier then breaks out into this wild arm flaring product to scanner shuffle slide in searching of the missing ping. Now Leslie whisks my daughter away to the car, shielding her eyes from the horror. I'm alone in the checkout line that is now seven deep and counting, waiting while the skilled Kmart cashier tirelessly tries to ring up my wretched little box of perv. Okay, it's only lube, but the lady behind me is looking at me as if I'm going to try and sex up her cat. Sweat is dripping from my face. Finally, a light goes off in the cashier's head. She breaks down and enters the UPC numbers manually into the cash register. Still no freaking ping. She re-enters the number. No ping. She calls over the manager, hands the box over to said manager, who then proceeds to go through the wild shuffle. UPC number... enter routine, still no ping. For some reason, this item is not in the store's computer.
Gee, I know why.
The manager calls over to the pharmacy, asks the pharmacy clerk to give her a price on the item's UPC code. Apparently, the pharmacy clerk is on this little conspiracy because she asked the manager for the name of the product. Doctors love root beer flavored jam jelly, says the manager. I don't really recall the exact name. Doctors love root beer flavored jam jelly, the pharmacist repeats. Yes, doctor loves root beer flavored jam jelly, says the manager, taking care to emphasize each syllable for the benefit of those at neighboring registers. Please hold. So now the manager is on hold, looking at me slyly like, yeah, I do ya. The lady behind me is horrified. The teenager behind her is snickering like Beavis. And the rest of the line is looking at me like I'm holding up their heart transplant. Finally, said clerk gives the manager the proper UPC code. The manager overrides the cash register and inputs the price. She apologizes for the delay and explains that the box is a 20 cents off offer on it and that the computer didn't recognize the cost difference. I went through all of this for 20 cents. I wanted to scream, but of course I paid for my purchase, picked up my bag, humiliated. But just as I was about to walk away, I looked at the cat lady, half smiled, and confidently said, "It'll be worth every penny."
That's great.
Yeah. Awesome email. Awesome email. That's, you guys awesome. Can send me email too like that. It's crazyj@comic.com. And I got one more email because, you know, things are different. Things are, you know, backwards sometimes.
Yes.
in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Things run slower, you mm-hmm. know. Like Rambo 3 is probably a new release over in Ireland.
Yeah, badass movie.
You know.
One of the greatest dramatic actors of our time, Sylvester Stallone.
But a while back, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you'll remember the night that Mike and I talked about hanging out with some Irish folk.
Oh, yeah.
We had a great time. Mike
got
fucked up at the Playboy Club.
Happy Gamay, eh?
And, you know, they left. They left and went back to Ireland, and they said, you know, we'll be in touch with you. And it's been months.
Yeah.
And,
I had given up hope.
I did give up hope on them.
Yeah,
and
that's a bummer.
Opened up the email the other day, and what is the opening line of that email?
What's the craic?
No. Oh. What does he say? Oh. Your only Irish word you learned?
What does it say? Cardae mar tatu.
Yeah.
And then the reply is, Toby Gamay, eh?
Yeah, and he says, the only word in Irish Mike learned while we were there. How
yes.
are things with ya? Any trips up to the canyon lately? Yeah, because we did meet them at, I met them at the Grand Canyon when I did an overnight stay out there.
Yeah, it's a small place.
And we had a lot of fun. And
canyon.
There's a cowboy that actually works out there, and he sings all these songs around the campfire and stuff, and his name is Casey Adams. So he says, Casey Adams, has he hit the charts in the U.S. yet? Been checking out the Rockin' Comedy Show, some good stuff on there. Had me doubled over just as it were, like, on honeymoon.
Because that's when they came out here, was on their honeymoon.
Yeah. New York sucked, by the way, on the way home. Not like Vegas at all. Would be okay for a short break, but no longer than 4 days.
Yeah.
Take themselves way too serious. Amilda, who is his wife, and I both loved our time in Vegas, thanks in no small part, was the entertainment value you and Mike gave us. How tricks with you and Mike?
What?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you're talking about like turning tricks, like Fremont Street style or what?
I don't know.
Because they're going great.
Still partying away. Was wondering, was there any chance of getting those pictures from the Playboy Club emailed over to me? The guys here still don't believe I was there.
Oh, what?
So
we will send them.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. So Colin, and you know, you gotta get the word out there.
I'm under attack.
You gotta get the word out there in Ireland to listen, because you
yeah.
are. We have one hit in Ireland, and now we know who it is.
Yeah, we know exactly. We know who you are. And
so I thought
you still want to go out there.
We do, and for the people of Ireland, maybe I should give you a reason to listen to the show. I have a vast.
We like potatoes.
I have a vast, huge collection of music and comedy from all over the world.
Yes.
And
we like potatoes.
I have a song here that you would generally play around St. Patrick's Day, because it's an Irish little
stick them in a stew.
Shut up! It's an Irish song from Stephen Lynch. This is going out to Colin and you know,
all those gangs.
Everybody from Ireland, if you're listening, maybe they have one computer and it's Colin's and
yeah, they're all just hanging around it.
Yeah, and
his old. Commodore 64.
Yeah. And they're all listening to it. But Colin, this one is definitely for you. So enjoy it, Stephen Lynch.
Yeah.
Lad, it's your duty to find your lass with childbearing hips and a pink supple ass, and make her your wife and love her with love so true. Now some rivers run high, some rivers run low. When her river runs red, then she starts in her flow. And it's called menstruation, and here's what it means to you. You will notice her bloomers are spotty at first. Stand back, her ovarian dam's gonna burst. So don't be afraid, it's a natural ting. Just wad up some cotton and hand her some string. Put the old linens on top of the bed. Get out of the house and go down to the old pub instead. She'll retain her water, her breasts will be tender, and every third word that you say will offend her. Get out of the house and go down to the old pub instead. And she'll want to make love, if you do, you're a fool, cause you'll only end up with a bloody O'Toole. Get out of the house, down to the old pub instead. And she'll want you to sample the fruit of her loins, but son, it'll taste like some old rusty coins. So turn off the light, boy, and take off your hat, and drop to your knees, say a prayer to St. Pat. Then he'll give you the strength to get out of the bed, and for Ireland's sake, go down to the old pub instead. Now the pub is the place where the lads are a-meeting, when the moon's full and the gals are a-bleating. The Catholic, the Protestant, even the pagan, the pub is the place when your lady is ragging. So drink of your pint, boys, and thank your shamrocks that as men folk we don't have to bleed from our cocks. And that we can escape from the lady in red and get out of the house and go down to the old pub instead. Thank you, everybody. Good night. Thank you.
Now I'd like to turn to the folk song, which has become in recent years the particularly fashionable form of idiocy among the self-styled intellectual. We find that people who deplore the level of current popular songs, although I admit they do seem to be recording almost anything these days. Have you heard Sessue Hayakawa's record of Remember Pearl Harbor? The same people who deplore the level of current popular songs and yet will sit around enthralled singing Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care, or Green Grow the Rushes, oh, whatever that means. At any rate, for these elite, I have here an ancient Irish ballad, which was written a few years ago, and which is replete with all the accoutrements of this art form. In particular, it has a sort of idiotic refrain. In this case, rickety-tickety-tin, you'll notice cropping up from time to time, running through, I might add, interminable verses. The large number of verses being a feature expressly designed to please the true devotees of the folk song, who seem to find singing 50 verses of On Top of Old Smokey is twice as enjoyable as singing 25. This type of song also has what is known technically in music as a modal tune, which means, for the benefit of any layman who may have wandered in this evening, that I play a wrong note every now and then. I think this song, though, does differ strikingly from the genuine folk ballad in that in this song, the words which are supposed to rhyme actually do. I really should say that I do not direct these remarks against the vast army of folk song lovers, but merely against that peculiar hardcore who seem to equate authenticity with artistic merit and illiteracy with charm. Oh, one more thing. One of the more important aspects of public folk singing is audience participation, and this happens to be a good song for group singing. So if any of you feel like joining in with me on this song, I'd appreciate it if you would leave right now.
About a maid, I'll sing a song, sing rickety-tickety-tin. About a maid, I'll sing a song, who didn't have her family long. Not only did she do them wrong, she did every one of them in. She did every one of them in. One morning in a fit of pique, sing rickety-tickety-tin. One morning in a fit of pique, she drowned her father in the creek. The water tasted bad for a week. and we had to make do with gin, with gin. We had to make do with gin. Her mother, she could never stand, sing rickety tickety tin. Her mother, she could never stand, and so a cyanide soup she planned. The mother died with a spoon in her hand, and her face in a hideous grin, grin. Her face in a hideous grin. She set her sister's hair on fire, rickety tickety tin. She set her sister's hair on fire, and as the smoke and flame rose higher, danced around the funeral pyre, playing a violin, violin, playing a violin. She wetted her brother down with stones, rickety tickety tin. She wetted her brother down with stones and sent him off to Davy Jones. All they ever found were some bones and occasional pieces of skin, of skin, occasional pieces of skin. One day when she had nothing to do, sing rickety tickety tin. One day when she had nothing to do, she cut her baby brother in two and served him up as an Irish stew and invited the neighbors in, neighbors in, invited the neighbors in. And when at last the police came by, sing rickety tickety tin. And when at last the police came by, her little pranks she did not deny. To do so she would have had to lie, and lying she knew was a sin, a sin. Lying she knew was a sin. My tragic tale I won't prolong, rickety tickety tin. My tragic tale I won't prolong, and if you do not enjoy my song, give yourselves the blame if it's too long. You should never have let me begin, begin. You should never have let me begin.
Confession Club, a potentially perfect parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
"Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood."
"Oh, no."
"You in the corner. Who are you? You're not supposed to be here."
"She's my girlfriend, doctor."
"You need to wait out in the waiting room."
"Please, doctor, I want to stay with her."
"Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work."
"Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her."
"Wait a second. You were the driver?"
"Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks."
"Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine."
"Hey, sweetie, I feel great. You want to get out of here?"
"I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?"
"What, are you kidding? No, not really." "Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat."
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
"Hey, what's up? This is Gwen speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you."
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Brian turned to glance at the pilot, who suddenly had both hands on his stomach and was grimacing in pain.
"I don't know, kid."
The pilot's words were a hiss, barely audible.
"Bad aches here. Bad aches."
He stopped as a fresh spasm of pain hit him. The pilot was having a heart attack. Brian saw the pilot slam into the seat one more time. One more awful time, he slammed back into the seat, and his right leg jerked, pulling the plane to the side. Brian was sitting in a bush plane roaring 7,000 feet above the northern wilderness with a pilot who had suffered a massive heart attack and who was either dead or in something close to a coma. He was alone. In the roaring plane, he was alone. The plane, committed now to crashing, fell like a stone, and Brian eased back and braced himself for the crash. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Hatchet by Gary Paulson. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
All right, coming up here in just a few minutes, we're going to be doing Nick's pick. But right now, this song was it was considered lost, but now it's found here on the Rockin' Comedy Show by one of our all-time favorite groups, one of the most requested artists in the history of the show, next to the Uninvited. I am, of course, talking about Zero Fingers. This is a very hard-to-find song of theirs, simply titled Pretty When You Cry, making its premiere here on the Rockin' Comedy Show. Here's Zero Fingers.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's a simple little song, Pretty When You Cry, by Zero Fingers. It's the Rockin' Comedy Show. I am your host, Crazy J. Let's keep it going.
This is Dr. Elmo. You know, the only place I feel like I can ever really get down is right here on the Crazy J Show.
And right now on the Rockin' Comedy Show, the moment some of you have been waiting for. I don't know who. I'm sure there's a few out there. But it is time.
Ow. For what? That's it. That was someone left.
It is time for Nick's Pick.
Oh!
Yeah! Woo! All right, so let's give it up for Nick and Nick's Pick.
Hey!
Hey, Nick. What's up, buddy?
This is Nick's Pick. What's up, Jay? How you doing?
What's happening?
Feeling pretty good tonight.
Yeah? Why is that?
Just drank some freaking Jaeger and Coke.
You got a little bad.
Yeah. Gotta love that Jaeger.
Gotta love the Jaeger. I think that's what's wrong with Mike on this edition of the Rockin' Comedy Show. He hasn't had enough.
Like biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, it is. I think that's what he's puking up is biscuits and gravy.
Yeah,
yeah, not bad. So your pick is going to be a song, a movie.
It's actually a movie that just came out about a week ago. The Hangover.
Well, actually, about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I meant to say that. All right, so it's me, The Hangover. It's a pretty hilarious comedy. Had me rolling the whole movie. And the movie does take place about a bachelor party in Vegas. We all know how crazy that can be.
Yeah, my problem is it's kind of hard to watch a movie about Vegas.
Isn't it weird?
When you're in Vegas.
It's weird.
Because you're like, oh, wow, the Strip.
Yeah.
But all in all, the movie's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. The movie's hilarious. The whole movie had me rolling. Well, this crazy adventure, let's start with the sudden memory loss of the groomsmen. But the movie gets more interesting when their events. After a night of fun, the next morning they find out that one of the friends are gone, went missing, and somehow they acquire a tiger and a baby. Oh. Professional boxer Mike Tyson is also featured in this movie. With nonstop laughs and raunchy humor, The Hangover did about 3.2
Would you,
excuse me, run $32.8 million in the box office. And I have shit, biscuits, bigger than that.
You have? Are you sure about that?
We'll find out in an hour. No. About May.
That was awesome. Would you say that, Mike Tyson's acting is as good as, biscuits?
Honestly, I think he...
Or is it a crumpet?
More on the biscuit side.
His acting's more on the biscuit side?
Biscuits and crumpets.
All right.
Yeah. I thought he was a horrible actor. Are you kidding? He was... Stick to boxing, bro. Stick to boxing. So
what else about The Hangover?
Apparently they got slipped some roofies in their drink, and that's why they don't remember throughout the whole movie.
Right.
In the whole movie, they go to... They go on the edge trying to find out what happened the night before. Their hotel room is thrashed. They end up with a tiger and a baby. And one of their friends is missing, and that's... He's the groom.
The groom of the wedding.
And needs to be home the next day. And eventually they go through for that, so... Yeah, so The Hangover. Yeah.
Scale of 1 to 10?
I give it about a 9. Actually.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. It was pretty funny. It was hilarious.
Yeah, you will laugh.
Yeah, you got to see it.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, at least check it out at least once. And the baby's name is Carlos.
Carlos. you like the background music?
Yeah, I love it. Actually, it's new. Got me bobbing. Oh wow! Is that Here Comes the Sun?
It is.
Oh shit! With the Beatles, little Beatles.
So. We're working on having the Fab Four here in Las Vegas on the show.
Really?
Yeah, we've locked down a couple of dates. Now we just have to pick one that works well. Probably after Mike gets back from his little break.
Wouldn't that be weird seeing him out of a costume?
It would, but unfortunately we...
Hey, which one's Ringo?
But fortunately, we will be doing it just before their show starts, so...
What do you mean? Oh.
So I will see them, and I will see them in costume.
Like the show starts at 6.
Well, they're getting ready. I don't know, it's going to be kind of odd, but... So that's it. That's your pick?
That is my pick. Nick. The Hangover. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And that's Nick's pick. Good job.
I swear to God, if he says biscuits one more fucking time...
Biscuits?
I'm going to knock his grill off.
Oh, you're...
He's going to look like a fucking Cadillac, okay?
Biscuits.
I swear to God.
Where did you get that?
Where the hell? He must have said it like 90 times.
What show were you listening to?
He said biscuits. Listen, play it back.
I will.
What the hell? That's offensive, okay?
You're offended by biscuits?
I like crumpets.
Well, it's the same thing.
No, it's not. It's entirely different, okay? He has no right, okay? What do you think this is, America? Okay? Jesus Christ.
Oh, but...
Jesus Cristo.
It's Nick's pick. I like... That's my favorite part. Whether he likes it or not, that's staying.
That's good.
Staying.
Shit, I'm gonna...
Yeah!
I'm gonna have to buy some lederhosen.
Yeah, I like that. I don't care what you say.
Yeah. And what are those hats? Those feathers?
Yeah.
I need one.
Stay away from the power amplifier. It's sending out deadly waves of stupidness.
We're gonna take a break when we come back. You'll be here with some how to's and.
Didn't I already do that?
No.
Are we on the air?
Why don't you just follow along? It's all written down.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We'll be back after this.
Hey, everybody. Call me out. You stayed inside. One you love is where you hide. Shot me down as I flew by. Crash and burn. I think sometimes you forget where the heart is. Answer no. Take you away from that empty apartment.
smile. Think I'll stay for a while. How did I get to your room? I think it's too soon. Something here we both know. It's too obvious to ignore. One night stand just won't do. I really like you. I wasn't expecting this. Fire in your kiss. I'm going home right now.
Sharon Paquette voted one of the top five Las Vegas performers, singer and songwriter. She's now performing at the Monte Carlo Hotel on Saturdays in the Brand Lounge. That is awesome. Mike is gone, my co-host. Nick is gone, leaving me solo to do the entire show now. I have no idea where these people went. They just left. I'm going to try and find them. We'll be back after this.